Friends, this morning we have the opportunity to hear from a guest preacher, Pastor Dustin Height, who was previously a pastor at Imago Dei Church in Peoria, Illinois, before in 2020 he and his wife Christina moved their family and their two daughters, Kaylin and Kristen, across the country here to Austin, Texas, to become missional residents at Community First Village. So they now live in a tiny home of 400 square feet, the four of them. So, yeah, I hear the murmuring. You know, you can imagine the joys and the struggle and all of the things that that may come with. But they followed this call that God had put on their heart to move across the country and to leap wholly into something that was completely unimaginable, to give of themselves and their life in a new way. And so Dustin serves at Community First Village almost as like a chaplain pastor, building relationships with residents there, people who've experienced chronic homelessness and instability in their lives, kind of serving as a first point of contact, responding to everything going on in their lives, both the joys and the trauma and everything in between. And so we're so grateful for his presence this morning. And Christina sends out a really cool email news blast with information of things going on in their world and the residents they're working with. So his family's here in the front, and if you're interested in partnering with them and hearing more about that, do talk to them after service. But for now, I want to go ahead and invite Pastor Dustin up. And we're just so thankful for him to be here and grateful to hear from him this morning. So I ask that you join me in prayer as we pray for Pastor Dustin. So Holy Lord, gracious God, we are so grateful as your church to be here this morning. And we're grateful for Dustin and the whole Height family for their commitment to the calling that you've put on their heart, for their bravery and fearlessness and jumping into something that seems so otherworldly, to move across the country to somewhere so foreign and strange and embrace the tiny home living to be partners in ministry and in life. With people who have experienced chronic homelessness and people who really need that voice and that advocate and that presence. And so we're grateful that he is here and for the words that you have prepared for him. We ask that you speak through him, Lord, that your spirit may be flowing freely in between us, that our hearts and minds may be open to new revelation and the words that he would share. And we're just so grateful that he's here. So thank you for this morning, God, and for Pastor Dustin. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I'm delighted to be here with you all today. The main reason I am here is because the UMC conference passed a resolution this quarter. There's a minimum one bald guy on the stage every Sunday morning. So I'm fulfilling the quota today with you all. Let me jump in right into our scripture for today. It's from Luke 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the things the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them all assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to start with a written prayer that connects this story in Luke, specifically in the hopelessness of Cleopas and his companion on the road. I can imagine myself in their shoes, feeling disillusioned, isolated, grieving, and confused. And I love that Jesus steps right into their pain, joins them on the way, meeting them where they were. They were at a fork in the road, so to speak, could not see the fullness of what God had in store for them. Their pain and loneliness was real, but it was not the end of the story. This is a prayer, it's become one of my favorites. It's by Ted Loader, called "Help Me to Believe in Beginnings." God of history and of my heart, so much has happened to me during these whirlwind days. I've known death and birth. I've been brave and scared. I've hurt and I've helped. I've been honest. I've lied. I've destroyed. I've created. I've been with people and I've been lonely. I've been loyal. I've betrayed. I've decided and I've waffled. I've laughed and I've cried. You know my frail heart and my frayed history. And now another day begins. Oh God, help me to believe in beginnings and in my beginning again, no matter how often I've failed before. Help me to make beginnings, to begin going out of my weary mind into fresh dreams, daring to make my own bold tracks in the land of now, to begin forgiving that I may experience mercy, to begin questioning the unquestionable, that I may know truth, to begin disciplining, that I may create of gentleness for the angry, of wholeness for the broken, of gentleness for the angry, of wholeness for the broken, of peace for the frightened and violent of the earth. Help me to believe in beginnings, to make a beginning, to be a beginning, so that I may not just grow old, but grow new each day of this wild, amazing life you call me to live with the passion of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes we believe in new beginnings, opening ourselves up to new ideas and perspectives. Sometimes we make new beginnings, taking action in some way, whether it's big or small. And sometimes we become a new beginning, coming alongside someone else's story in a significant and embodied way. I believe Jesus is a God of fresh starts and new beginnings, and following him often means going to the margins of society where too many of God's children are suffering alone. One morning, about 10 years ago, I was reading this exact prayer, and I was speaking it, trying to be honest, like from my own heart's desire, even though it's aspirational. And when I prayed it to God, the section that said, "Help me to be a beginning to others, to be a befriender of the friendless," immediately I felt my heart jump. And I felt like God's Spirit was highlighting this phrase for me. It felt like an invitation, a moment when my openness to live out this prayer in some real way coincided with something that someone was calling me to do. And so immediately, I knew the person in my life who needed a friend. This person is very hard to spend time with because he suffers from many things, including some severe mental illness, which has led to a lot of hardship and loneliness in his life. Mark, my friend now, easily fell into the category of friendless at the time. So I started taking steps forward in our relationship. This meant carving out time in my schedule to see him, meant allocating some of our money in our budget in order to buy him lunch when he was running short that week. It meant more than just answering his calls, but now having times when I would be the one to reach out to him, whether it be a call or a get-together. So more than merely just saying yes to this friendship, it also meant saying no to some other things so I had the needed margin that I could say yes to this additional time to being with him. I helped him get a cell phone, get an apartment, apply for jobs, and on those job applications, I served as both the only reference and his only emergency contact, which really was a shock to me. Mark was staying at a homeless shelter when I met him in 2014, and somehow he still had the presence of mind to talk about philosophy and his Greek background and a short stint that he had in seminary. This choice I made to deepen my relationship with my friend Mark led me down a path I would have never expected. You see, I still talk to Mark weekly. I manage his money, I pay his bills, and I intervene when he encounters some kind of challenge. We've had him over to our house for many celebrations and holidays, including Christmas morning. But that's only half of the story. You see, Mark also chose to be my friend first. He shared vulnerably about his childhood struggles, his success in college, his challenges in finding work, his dreams from the future, which helped me then feel safe to share with him about what was going on in my life. He is constantly offering me gifts, and all of us gifts, even though he barely scrapes by, and we know it. He calls me 15 times a day, which is way too much, but he has OCD, and he can't help it. At one point years ago, after pouring a good amount of energy and time into this friendship, I came to realize that Mark somehow became one of my best friends and was putting in more effort in our relationship than I was. So now he's our Uncle Mark, and we love him dearly, and he'll be a part of our family forever. God used Mark to teach me about so many things, but at the top of this list is the joy of widening our circle of family. In case you're unfamiliar with that phrase, it stems from something that Mother Teresa once said. She said, "The problem with the world is that we draw the circle of our family too small." Now, she, of course, stole this from Jesus, who was always pushing the boundaries of what it meant to be family, what it meant to be us, and modeling that for us. I look back at our own journey and marvel at how we got to the point where we live at Community First, and also how Christina and I started this family ministry called A Faithful Presence. Mark was a huge part of that journey of transformation, honestly. My girls are the other main influence. They came to us through foster care, which meant that these two precious lives were complete strangers to us one day, and then the next day were calling me dad. Parenting is one of the greatest sources of hardship in my life so far. You thought I was going to say joy, didn't you? Well, that's also true, so you're also right if that's what you thought. They're a top source of joy, and we would do it all over again every single time. So it got me thinking, isn't it funny that as we grow closer to people, like really deep, meaningful relationships, it's always a mixture of pain and love, of joy and hardship. Maybe God knows that's what we need. It's a whole package. We cause each other great pain, and we help carry and comfort each other through life's biggest challenges. Just like Cleopas and his companion were sharing in each other's burdens, and the disciples were still all assembled together in Jerusalem, helping each other endure that loss and disappointment that they were going through. We all need somebody to lean on. Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to become a foster parent, or befriend an unhoused neighbor, though that would be good, or to move to Community First. But if you feel drawn to take a big step toward changing your life, I can tell you that it's worth it. There are already people in your orbit and in this church that are silently suffering that could use another family member. If you only take a moment to look for those who are carrying their burdens alone, you won't have to look very far. And you'll not only transform someone else's life, but you too will be changed for the better. If we truly believed that we are all God's children, part of the same family, and treated each other based on that reality, we would change the world. We would heal all sorts of societal ills, and we would experience healing and belonging for ourselves as well. As 1 Corinthians 12:26 reminds us, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I have found that to be true. So today's invitation in this resurrection season of Eastertide is to become a people of new beginnings, new relationships, and deepening ones, where your circle of family becomes a little wider and we all experience a little more joy, healing, comfort, and belonging. Jesus is already there, walking alongside those carrying those heavy burdens. So let's join him on this wild, amazing journey that we are called to live together, right? Let me pray for us. God, thank you for the opportunity to be with this lovely group of people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my siblings. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for modeling what it looks like to us to constantly be widening our circle of family. The people that we thought were outcasts are at the center of your kingdom, and they're all invited to the table. And God, we thank you that we can be part of that. We thank you for your love and the joy of every relationship you bring along our path. In Jesus' name, amen.